T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. We are with you each weeknight. You can find me on Facebook. Ryan Recker Radio is a great place to connect. Send me messages. I always enjoy talking to authors with connections here to St. Louis, focusing on St. Louis. Reedy Press, they do a great job preserving a lot of great bits of St. Louis history. And this is a good one. It's an author by the name of Bill Cleveland, and his book is Finding the American Dream. He joins us now. Hey, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Good to be with you.
So you do a lot of traveling. And what was a year like this for someone that's used to traveling a lot?
Oh, it's horrible. traveling from the kitchen, you know, to the bathroom, to the bedroom, to the, yeah, that's the only traveling I got to do. No, I've taken some road trips, but, you know, in a typical year, I do probably, I don't know, maybe 40 places around the United States, you know, best big cities and small towns and everything. And this year, I think I've, you know, been like 8, you know, so it's been a big difference.
It's cut back. Yeah, in some. And part of what you do in the book is called Finding the American Dream. So did you find it?
I think I found it quite a while ago. I've been, you know, in this business for 21 years. So I'm very happy that I've been able to achieve what I, you know, set out to when I was a young guy. But the book is about people who, you know, these iconic Americans that, you know, they overcame odds, they were able to achieve the American dream, even though there were people who said that they couldn't do it, or like I said, they had these, you know, great odds in front of them. And I will tell you, it was just really refreshing to go back and learn about all of these great people that, you know, you've heard many of these names before, but to go back and realize what so many of them overcame, and, you know, to become famous or become successful, and you know, just kind of proves that anybody can do it if they're willing to, you know, to work hard.
Anyone can do it. I like that. That's a good message. That is the American dream. And the book is out now, Finding the American Dream. And there's some entries in this book that include ties to St. Louis and, of course, the state of Missouri. And I was going through the list, and I wanted to talk to you about a few of those. There are some that I really am unfamiliar with. Now, I'm a transplant. I moved here in 2017. So I've heard a lot of these stories, but I haven't heard all the stories. So when I saw JCPenney on the list, I was curious his ties to Missouri.
Yeah, so he's going to be on the Kansas City side. What's interesting, so JCPenney, not on the Kansas City side, the actually middle of the state, right along what's called the Genius Highway. It's this really great stretch between Hannibal, Missouri, so about 2 hours north of St. Louis, all the way over to St. Joseph, Missouri, which is, you know, closer to Kansas City. And you can take this, it'd probably take you maybe two and a half days if you really want to see everything, but it's incredible. All of the American pioneers who, you know, come across this stretch of highway, and JCPenney is one of those people. And he's from Hamilton, Missouri, which is this really, until recently, this little was kind of a know nothing, you know, little town, and got his start there. And now he didn't start his first store in Missouri, but that's where he was born. That's where he was from. And, you know, what's interesting about Hamilton now, one of the other folks that I feature in the book is a lady named Jenny Doan, and she's from Hamilton. And what's cool about her, she started this quilting company. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know a stinking thing about quilting. Maybe you do. I certainly don't. But, you know, when I went to Hamilton to visit the JCPenney birthplace, and they've got a little tiny museum there or whatever, I learned about this woman named Jenny Doan. And in a nutshell, this woman started doing these quilting videos on YouTube. And, you know, she loved to quilt. She knew a lot about quilting and started doing these little YouTube videos. And she became this huge success all over the country. And so people wanted to come and they wanted to meet her because they'd been watching her videos on YouTube and learning how to quilt and doing different things. So she set up a shop, and then it became pretty popular. And then there were other quilting stores, again, that moved into this, what was a know-nothing area. I mean, they didn't have a stoplight, you know. And so now you go to Hamilton, this pretty small little town, and there's all of these quilt stores and all these people are visiting, and all because of this one woman who, you know, again, she had a dream, and she built up this town again. So it's really cool. So examples like that where these people, they just, you know, they work hard and, yeah, maybe get a little bit of luck, and they become these great success stories. And so, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned JCPenney because it makes me think of Jenny Doan as well. But Hamilton, Missouri, who would have thought?
You know, that's a lot of times who would have thought. And that's the thing. When you're at a region that has a story like that, if you sit down at a diner and ask them, hey, tell me about this, there's always something that only the locals would know about to share. And it's even like that in, you know, middle-sized and sometimes, you know, somewhat larger cities. It's just something that the locals know that the rest of the country doesn't. So it's good that you're driving and finding these stories to bring to a larger audience and finding the American dream. Do you mind holding on after the break? I'd love to talk to you about some of the other people and things that you put inside of the book, and maybe we can make some more dreams here tonight.
Sure thing, you got it.
That was a lousy transition, but I gave it a shot. So Bill Cleveland joins us, a travel journalist and author, does some radio work, and his book is called Finding the American Dream, which you can find on Amazon and other places too. Just came out not that long ago, so go check it out. We're going to continue our conversation with him next on Overnight America KMOX.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes, mornings and afternoons, on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America, and driving across the country, oh, does that sound nice? Finding the American Dream is a book that was just released a few weeks ago at the start of the month, and joining us is the author, Bill Cleveland. Hey, thank you again for coming on to Overnight America.
Yeah, no problem. Good to be here.
So what's the best way to travel across the U.S.? Is it RV? Is it SUV? Minivan? Like, what do you prefer?
Well, I have an SUV. It's a small SUV, which is just perfect. I travel solo, so, you know, you can hang up some clothes and have plenty of stuff in the back. I'll be honest, I'm too intimidated to get into an RV. I know a lot of people like doing that for me, but, you know, the small SUV is just perfect to get out and see the country. And, you know, so I've been covering travel since 2013 and taking these road trips all over the country and starting from St. Louis. So I'm from St. Louis, and it's a good launch pad to do road trips across the country. And you know, I try to tell people to go to the big cities, see all the big cities, but stop in the small towns along the way. You know, too often we are so focused on getting from point A to point B and flying down the highway that we forget that there are a lot of really cool things that are, you know, in between those two points. And that's kind of where I have you know, just really loved what I do for a living, because you mentioned earlier talking to the locals. You know, that's where I've, you know, just, you've made so many great friends and gotten so many great stories from stopping in these smaller and middle-sized communities where people are really happy for the attention, especially now, and they're willing to talk to you, and you kind of get this sense that, you know, even though there are differences from town to town all over the country, in the end, we're all pretty much the same. And that's a pretty cool feeling when you start to visit with people, even though they may, you know, their accent might be a little bit different, or they, you know, mispronounce words like we do here in St. Louis, you know, saying Washington, right? But in the end, you know, we're all exactly the same. We're all Americans. We all want the same things out of life. And I got to tell you, more than ever, especially, you know, this year, good grief. It is nice that I've had that experience and I've been out all across the country and I'm able to tune out a lot of this stuff now where people seem to be all at each other's throats. Just to know that people all over the country are, by and large, pretty good and decent people.
Isn't that something when there's a celebrity from St. Louis like John Hamm on a national program? When they want to talk about St. Louis, they ask him about, oh, yeah, what's that St. Louis accent? You know, farty far or whatever. You know, they always act like St. Louis is this small, you know, 50,000 population city in the middle of nowhere. You know, and then they're always asking him things like that. I wanted to ask you about a few of the things that you mentioned inside Finding the American Dream and some of the different ties you're able to make. And I'm curious what you wrote about Walt Disney, because one of the things I've learned, at least the folklore, that there was a point in time where they were considering building Disneyland here in St. Louis, but they couldn't get the land deal done, so ultimately they built somewhere else.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I don't, to be quite honest, I don't know if that's 100% accurate, or, you know, I think I've heard rumors that the Bush family was going to be involved, but they, you know, Disney didn't want alcohol sold. I mean, there's all these, you know, all these things. Yeah. For people who love the Disney connection, and he lived in Marceline, Missouri. So again, it's back to this Highway 36 that I mentioned earlier in the program. The stretches from Hannibal, Missouri, up to St. Joseph. So Marceline is one of the stops, and this is where Walt Disney grew up. And this is where, now he was born in Chicago, but he moved to St. Louis to, I guess you could say, his formative years, lived in Marceline, and he spent time in this. It was an old train depot where now it's this Walt Disney Museum, and, you know, his childhood museum. And so he and his brother would run around in this train depot as kids. And again, today it's a museum. But when you go back to this town, you can see where all of these things started. So they have, you know, he also talks about, you know, the dreaming tree, and anybody that's a Disney fanatic would know what that is. And so essentially he, you know, so as a kid, he would hang out in front of this tree and, you know, just dream up these ideas and would look out into the yard at, you know, animals, whether they were, you know, chipmunks or, you know, mice or whatever was roaming around. You know, he would conjure up these, you know, images of what would soon be, you know, cartoons and all these different characters and stories and everything. And of course, he loved to draw. But when you go back to this little town, you realize, oh my gosh, this is Disneyland. I mean, it has the look of Main Street, you know, USA in Disneyland or Disney World. But the museum is really cool. And I have to tell you, I have been in tons and tons of museums. And so I think I'm certified to tell you what's a good museum and what isn't a good museum. And it really, it's a really nice museum. They have a lot of unique stuff that relates to Walt Disney. I interviewed a woman who actually, I can't remember how old she was, but if I had to guess, I would say she was in her late 80s, maybe even early 90s. And she lived in Marceline when Walt Disney made his return to town, right about the time Disneyland got started out in California. And she hosted Walt Disney because she was the only person in town that had air conditioning. And so they wanted to put Disney in the house that had air conditioning. And so so it was really cool to hear her talk about those experiences. And then her daughter now owns the house that Disney lived in as a kid. It's not open to the public, but they're really, really friendly people. So I'm sure if you knocked on the door, they would maybe let you take a quick tour. Maybe don't tell them I said that, but wow. It was fine in the front yard. You can't miss it, but a really cool connection to Missouri. And I just thought that was neat. She was the only person in town that had air conditioning.
That's hilarious. And you have to, are you pretty comfortable doing that? You find a historic location, could be a home, a private residence. You'll go up, knock on the door and talk to the people inside.
Well, I will pretty much talk to anyone. So yeah, I don't mind. But no, I don't. I wouldn't call myself a stalker or a creeper. But I was able to connect with this person after the fact, and she was very nice and extended an invitation the next time I go through Marceline to come and check out the house. But you know, that's another cool thing about this book is that, you know, it's a, I want people to read these profiles, but you know, the travel writer in me made it to where after you read their stories, then you have a place to actually go and connect with the legacy of these folks. So you see where their dreams began, whether it's, you know, the house that, you know, Elvis Presley lived in when he was a kid, or Johnny Cash when he was a kid, or, you know, the place where these, you know, dreams started for, you know, people, you know, famous inventors like Thomas Edison or whatever. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be able to drive people to specific places so that they can see, and, you know, just honestly, to me, it's just being able to stand in some of these places and go, wow, they started here, like they started here, and they became these just, you know, these great, successful Americans. It's just sort of inspiring, and hopefully people are inspired when they read the stories.
Oh, that's cool. Finding the American Dream is the book. And by the way, if people wanted to check it out themselves, where can they find it?
You can go to my website, which is billontheroad.com, billontheroad.com. And for anybody that enjoys travel, they can certainly go there and get great travel ideas. Since I am here in St. Louis, there's a lot of trips that begin in St. Louis and go to other parts of the country. So folks can get some good road trip ideas on the website as well.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, the interesting thing, you talk about being stalker-ish because there's all these different landmarks. That's like a whole different subculture on YouTube where there's people that go to filming locations of movies.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they'll go onto the people's front yards, and you can tell some are just tired of people showing up because they want to take a picture in front of whatever famous house it is. And then there's others that are a little bit more open and welcome to it. So it's always funny. You never know what you're running into, what people know they have, what they don't know that they have. And I wanted to also ask you about maybe some false positives that you may have found going to some of these small towns. So just like anywhere else I've lived, there's folklore and people believe it. And then maybe after the fact, you're doing research for your book and you find out, well, actually, that wasn't true. But, you know, everyone there believes it. Do you ever run into situations like that?
You know, I can't say that I've run into a lot of it. You know, most of the people that I profiled in the book were pretty well known, and their stories were pretty well known. You know, I just am, like I said, I just was really impressed going through. And this is the fourth travel book that I've written, fourth travel guide that I've written. But I will tell you, it was the hardest to write because you have these, you know, for the most part, these elaborate biographies that you had to crammed down into, you know, two or four pages. And so it becomes, well, what do you keep and what do you discard? So for me, that was actually the most difficult thing, you know, in putting the book together was finding what do I want to tell people about, you know. And so I had to be very methodical, and, you know, I didn't want to leave out anything that was too important, and we wanted to include some, you know, kind of little fun facts and that sort of thing. But I just, you know, like I said, in researching and then, you know, going through the notes of, you know, because many of these places that I've been during my travels. And so, you know, trying to, you know, tell those stories in the most succinct way that I possibly could. It was difficult, but hopefully we did a good job.
You know, I didn't realize this story is also a Missouri story. J.C. Hall, or Joyce Hall, businessman, yeah, here. What's his connection with the area?
So Joyce Hall, you're talking about J.C. He was the founder of Hallmark Card. And boy, if we all could have gone back in time and figured out a way to charge $4 for a piece of paper, right? I mean, you know, what a genius this guy was. But he was a genius. And my favorite story about Joyce Hall was that when he was young, he, and getting his business going, he basically sent bundles of, he called them postcards at the time, bundles of these postcards out to various retailers. But the catch was, or the thing was, that none of these people ordered them. And so what he did was he sent them out in bundles of 100 with an invoice. And so, which when you think about it is, you know, that's, so he sent these people these cards. And so, you know, about probably half of them sent them back going, I didn't order this. But about half of them ended up sending the money back. And so that's how he started up his business. And you can go to the Hallmark Visitor Center in Kansas City. It's there in the Crown Center. You might be familiar with the area. It's where all the shops and things are. And you can go through and you can tour. And it's just absolutely amazing. And you walk through and you can see some of these artists doing their thing and coming up with, you know, ideas for cards. And I make jokes. It's a little more difficult than I would lead on to, you know, to come up with, you know, the ideas and the cartoons and stuff for cards and everything, but kind of an interactive place. But I thought that was just such a great story that he just decided, you know, here, I'm just going to send people, random people, my cards, and we'll see who pays for them and who doesn't.
Wow. So did you consider doing that with your book? Did you have the idea?
Well, I don't know that Reedy Press would like me just sending copies at will to people. I don't know if people these days would send me the money back, but I'm going to say a big no to that one.
Bill Cleveland, do you mind holding on? We can talk some more stories with connections locally here.
Sure.
I love the Walter Cronkite one. I'm curious if maybe we can do that after the break. And people, you can find the book online, Amazon, other local bookstores. Reedy Press does a great job getting that out there to local bookstores. It's called Finding the American Dream. We'll continue next on Overnight America KMOX.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
In Overnight America has local author. He's also a national travel journalist. Radio host, does many other things, and his book that's out now, just came out a few weeks back, called Finding the American Dream. Bill Cleveland, again, thank you for staying with us and hanging out with us tonight on Overnight America.
Yeah, sure. No problem. Good to be here.
A lot of great local ties to St. Louis, ties to Missouri in general, and one of which, a very popular name, is Walter Cronkite. I don't think he gets enough credit. I love his eyebrows. I think they are trademark. Now, my wife, for example, I let them grow out like that, and she's always telling me I need to trim these things. But I say, no, if it's good enough for Walter Cronkite, it's good enough for me. So what did you decide to cover on Walter Cronkite in your book?
Well, yeah, as you mentioned, Walter Cronkite had Missouri ties, went to Missouri Western State University up in St. Joseph, Missouri. But, yeah, there was no better news broadcaster, at least back in the day, and most trusted man in America, I think people used to call him. And it was one of the funny things, or I thought it was funny, in the ways that he would cover stories, just to show you the way that, you know, the times were back then. After President Kennedy had been assassinated, he had obviously come in and, you know, interrupt a broadcast to tell the audience about it. But he interrupted this soap opera, and they didn't have a camera available in the studio. Now, think about that, like in today's term, a news studio not having a camera available. You know, it's just insane to me. And so on the, you know, all you saw on the television was CBS News Bulletin. That's the only thing they plastered up on the screen. And you hear Walter Cronkite speaking, and then eventually they found a camera for Walter to speak into, and then he made that announcement. But just what a difference the media was back then. And of course, he was the first one, you know, a trailblazer for being a newscaster. And, you know, people will, I think, remember the way that he spoke. He had a very distinct sound to him. And so he spoke 124 words per minute, which that's important to know because the average person speaks about, I don't know, about 50 words faster than that. So he slowed down the way that he spoke and practiced at this so that people would, you know, really be able to take in and understand what he was saying. And, you know, you think about a lot of broadcasts now, they speak really fast. And so he trained himself to speak 124 words a minute. And so this back to the travel component here, if you go to Missouri State, Missouri Western State University in St. Joseph, they have this Walter Cronkite Memorial. It's been open since 2013. And what's great is they have a lot of the artifacts relating to Walter Cronkite, you know, a lot of his awards. They have his desk that he used for many years. And then they recreated the studio that he broadcast from when he was at CBS. And, you know, right down to, you know, that big, you know, photo, I guess, is a photo or drawing of the world right behind him, you know, the planet, the globe. And so you can sit down at this desk and, you know, you can take a little picture in one of the old CBS news cameras as sort of a keepsake, you know, from, you know, your visit there. But just a really well done memorial, lots of video, you know, lots of stories from him and then also, you know, people that knew him. But yeah, he's a great tie to Missouri. And again, we've mentioned it several times that Highway 36 stretch of road where you have all these great Missouri people. And he's certainly one of them.
Wow, that sounds really cool. That's something I would enjoy doing. My wife and my son, probably not. I don't know if they'd be into that. But he was something else.
I get it, yeah.
It is a broadcaster thing. So I would get up there, oh, I wonder what microphone he used. You know, you'd check out things like that.
Well, they had it. Yeah, they had his glasses, too. So, you know, he had those signature glasses that, you know, anybody that's watched or paid attention to the TV news, you know, the newscasters love to take their glasses off when they're getting serious, right? They set them down and they look into the camera. They have Walter Cronkite's glasses too. So I actually have a picture of me in the book wearing not his glasses, but glasses that looked like the ones he had on. And they let you take this picture of yourself sitting behind the anchor desk. So yeah, it's kind of cool.
Oh, I know. That's just one of those very memorable moments. And it could have been a cigarette, you know. The things have also changed over time when it comes to smoking during broadcasts. But there's all kinds of great interviews of Walter Cronkite saved in the KMOX archives because his affiliation with CBS, he would pop in and do these interviews every now and then. That was kind of cool to go back and hear some of those. But a lot of, you know, for the longest time, a lot of pride that Walter Cronkite on TV, but right here from Missouri. You know, I think a lot of people very familiar with Lewis and Clark because of St. Charles, and they really embrace that. There's, you know, the statues that are down there on the right by the water, and then there's different historical locations. That's, you know, there's the museum, things like that. So that might have been probably the easiest one for you to do, because if you're here, it's probably a 10-minute drive for you to check that out.
Yeah, and you know, and there are Lewis and Clark sites all over the country, and so that one wasn't too difficult to put together. Well, what is difficult, and I mentioned this earlier, is, you know, how do you whittle down so much of this information into just a couple of pages for folks? But you know, you kind of want to just whet their appetite. But yeah, we're very lucky to be in this region, and you have some sites on the Illinois side, and of course down in St. Charles. And then, you know, obviously all the way out west, you can find different Lewis and Clark sites. But yeah, that's another great tie to Missouri. And this is not planned. I honestly, when I put this together, I did not set out to have a bunch of Missouri sites in the book. Truly, it wasn't, you know, kind of me being a homer. It just sort of happened. And so I think there are certainly more Missouri sites in this book than any other state. But I think it comes down to, like, I think there's like 12 different people that have Missouri ties that wind up in this book. Everybody from Johnny Morris of, you know, Bass Pro fame, George Washington Carver, I mentioned Mark Twain, J.C. Penney, even the gentleman that created the sliced bread machine out in Chillicothe, Missouri. I don't know if you've ever made it out that way, but you can, they have the very first bread slicer, which was a pretty big deal at the time that, nobody actually thought would work. Nobody thought who would want their bread sliced, you know, or to have their bread pre-sliced. To a guy that was ahead of his time. But yeah, I'm really fortunate that, you know, I live here in Missouri and was, you know, so close to so many of these sites to be able to include them.
Yeah, so probably the very first St. Louis Bread Co. where they sliced the bagel like bread didn't make the cut for your book.
Well, I wouldn't quite put it in those terms. No, you know what's funny? You mentioned St. Louis Bread Company. I travel, yeah, again, all over the United States, drive everywhere, and you see the, this is, I guess, free advertising for them, but you see the Panera logo all over the place, and I just get a little upset every time I see this. And I will say to the people when I will go in, I'll say, you know, this is St. Louis Bread Company, and they just look at you like, what are you talking about? And, you know, it's not Panera, it's St. Louis Bread Company. But I guess,
yeah, well, I have
St. Louis thing
family
fly everywhere.
Yeah, when we have friends or family that come in and we drive by a location, they look at that and they say, wow, that logo looks exactly like Panera. And, you know, they don't know the ties locally here. It's always one of those deals. You know, some other names that come in. I know you mentioned Mark Twain, but I don't think we really talked about him in detail. But what a name in Mark Twain. And, you know, something that I think when you try to come up with the famous people in Missouri, if you were to do some sort of Mount Rushmore of Missouri fame, Mark Twain would be on that one.
Yeah, and so I'm assuming many of your listeners have been to Hannibal, Missouri, but if they haven't or they haven't recently, that's a great trip. It's, you know, it takes about 2 hours to get up there, and they have his boyhood home, his childhood home, and you can tour through the house. But they also have all of these sites that inspired, you know, a lot of his writing. And so it's really cool to go and see, you know, the house where Becky Thatcher lived, or to go to the Mark Twain cave where, you know, as a kid, he would hang out and play with his friends. And, you know, some of the stories that, you know, he writes about were inspired from the cave, or just being on, you know, the little river boat that they have there, a little paddle boat. And, you know, you can feel what Mark Twain felt when he was a kid. And he, you know, spent his time there along the river. And, you know, so much of his life and so many of his stories came from being, you know, a child living on the river, living on the great Mississippi River. And so, but yeah, that's a great destination. It's, you know, being in St. Louis, we're so lucky that, you know, we're so close to so many of these sites, not just in Missouri, but really all over the country. I mean, yeah, I mentioned I'm lucky that I live in St. Louis, where all of my road trips begin here. And it is incredible how many places you can get to within, you know, even just 6 or 7 hours in any direction. And so, but again, Hannibal, Missouri, great ties to Mark Twain, and they have the, you know, the signage up so you know what you're looking at. And of course the old, you know, Main Street there with some, you know, cool shops and little restaurants and a Mark Twain museum. And, but that's definitely worth a stop.
That's great. He also has fantastic eyebrows. Him and Walter Cronkite, they know how to grow the eyebrows in Missouri. That's something we
and Andy Rooney, which has no ties to Missouri, but I thought I'd throw that out there since we're talking about eyebrows.
Okay. So we open up the phone lines. Your favorite eyebrows, call in now. No, Bill Cleveland joins us. Do you mind holding on for one more segment?
Yeah. Sure thing.
This is great. And yeah, check the book out on Amazon or local bookstores. Reedy Press does a great job getting this out. But Finding the American Dream, we're going to continue to talk more local stories here. And you can look up his website, billontheroad.com. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. Michaelsflooringoutlet.com on KMOX.
Overnight America, one more segment here. We're going to enjoy with our author. Our subject is the book Finding the American Dream, local author Bill Cleveland. Again, thanks for spending time with us tonight on Overnight America.
Yeah, no problem.
You do all kinds of different traveling, I guess, in general. What's the perfect travel snack when you're behind the wheel? Is it beef jerky, Slim Jims? What's your pick?
That's so funny. Everyone asks those questions. And I always say, anything that doesn't smell or get on my steering wheel. I'm kind of a neat freak, so it's funny. I'll have people that'll travel with me, and I'm like, oh, you cannot eat that in my car. I'm sorry. Oh. You know, you can't bring that. Pretzels, for me, probably is the best. That's the easiest one. I put those in a Ziploc bag, and they're not too messy. They're you know, pretty light, easy to eat. But yeah, no, nothing that stinks. I can't have any of that. That in my car.
That is so boring. So you're not going to see a bunch of like fast food wrappers on your floorboards or anything.
No. No, you know what's so funny? I used to do a podcast, a travel podcast. I was interviewing a guy in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. He had just walked me around, you know, drove me around all these different sites in Gettysburg, and we're doing this interview in my car. We're sitting in my car, no more than 10 feet from where Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg address, because it was windy. We couldn't do an interview outside. You know what that's like, right? And yeah. We're sitting in the car, so you don't hear any wind, and the guy does a really great interview with me. We talked for probably 10 or 12 minutes, and I said to him, is there anything else that you would like to share with the audience, anything you want to share with the listeners? And he goes, I just have to tell you, you have the cleanest car of anybody I have ever met in my entire life, and certainly for somebody that travels as much as you do. So maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that means I'm a little obsessive compulsive, but it is what it is.
All right, so let's. Here's a would you rather scenario. So you're inside of a car. Would you rather have a child with full Cheeto hands in your car, or someone that tries to light a cigarette in your car? Which one would you rather have?
Oh my God! is there a C option there? I don't know when either of those. I do. I travel by myself typically, which is. I always tell people it's a good way to travel if you can occasionally. I know a lot of people like to travel with a friend or family or whatever, but when you travel by yourself, you are really forced to, maybe not forced to, but you are able to soak up things that you would not be able to if you had the distractions of somebody else, just talking and this and that. But when you're by yourself, you listen to things differently, you see things differently, and it's really a great way to travel. Again, I know most people don't want to do that all the time, but I suggest to people, and if you can, once, maybe every other year, just go somewhere, take a road trip, even if it's just for a few days by yourself. You can talk to complete strangers. It's even interesting when you're hearing other people's conversations. There's so many things that are different when you travel by yourself that you really learn a lot, not only about yourself, but about the places that you go. And I feel like when people travel with other folks, you miss out on so much stuff, even if it's just going through a museum or something like that. So maybe that makes me weird, but I do enjoy traveling by myself, and I don't know.
Well,
I think it's weird.
Yeah, no, you heard it here first with author Bill Cleveland. Leave your wife and kids, don't contact them for 2 days, disappear with the car, and then show back up at home and see what happens.
Yeah, you can quote me on that. That's fine.
Do you normally do the stop-offs if you're like driving down the road and it's the world's largest toilet seat? I got to see that. Do you normally stop off for things like that?
Oh yeah, and people hate driving with me because of that, because I stop at all of them. I have a few different apps on my phone that I use to find different what you would call roadside attractions. Stop at a lot of those, and honestly, it's great for social media purposes, because people like on Instagram or Facebook, they like seeing you with the different weird things. I just did a story over in KZ, Illinois, which is about 2.5 hours east of St. Louis, right up 70, and they have the world's largest, they have 12, I think it's 12, maybe it's 15 different world's largest things. So on one end of their main street, they have the world's largest rocking chair. And then on the other end of the main street, they have the world's largest mailbox. And it's sort of like being in that Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movie, except, everything is gigantic everywhere. And they've got this, a gigantic seesaw and a gigantic pitchfork and a gigantic Chevy truck key. And it's all this stuff all over town. It's just, massive. But I live for that stuff. I love those things. I just think it's great. And it's pure Americana. There's nothing like it.
Love it. All right, so one more time, your website, billontheroad.com. They can find links to this book and others. Finding the American Dream is the latest one that's out there. And, it's road trips are fun. I need to, you inspired me. I want to go on a road trip now. I don't think I could keep it as clean as you with a six-year-old. Not possible. If you were to see the back seat where the six-year-old sits, so he's got his car seat or whatever, the booster seat, and right where his feet are, oh, now that's a disaster. You may even refuse to get into my car at that point. You would look at something like that, and you may pass out. You'd be so upset with it.
But no, you're probably right. I'm shaking right now, actually, just thinking about it.
Well, let me tell you what's down there. Like, wrappers, French fries, and McDonald's things that he just drops down there. It's hard
to do. If you're looking for road trip ideas, now that I've inspired you, not only from the book, if you go to BillOnTheRoad.com, there's all sorts of great things. And I'm really fortunate, because I do live in St. Louis, I have a – if you Google road trips from St. Louis, my website is the first one that pops up. I've got the number one Google ranking. And so there's a lot of great ideas you can find that are easy trips, you know, less than 10 hours away from St. Louis, that you can go and just, you know, explore. Don't go to the same places over and over. I know how St. Louisans are. It's either Lake of the Ozarks, it's Florida, or, you know, where else? Branson, I guess. But there are so many other places that you can go and check out. So thank you for having me on, and hopefully folks will travel.
So many other places, so many other giant things to see, and just hop on the road and see it for yourself. And you know what? You wouldn't get that experience if you hopped on a tube, by the way. So, you know, if they do that Hyperloop or whatever, you know, hop in a car, experience it. It's much better that way. Bill Cleveland, the book again, Finding the American Dream, BillOnTheRoad.com. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, my pleasure. Have a good night. Thanks.
That was a lot of fun. He joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. Oh, good hour. I love learning a little bit about history in that way. Things that you just don't know until someone says it, and all of a sudden it's going to be implanted in your brain forever. You know, I didn't know about the sliced bread here in Missouri. That's great. Next hour, I do want to talk a little bit about the confirmation process of Amy Coney Barrett, a virtual learning selling information, and how about Dave Scott, our friend from Spaced Out Radio, all coming up next on Overnight America KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.